get into the third chapter of Revelation this evening. And the Lord just was so sweet to me today, just thinking about, again, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this evening, Lord willing, we're going to be back into the Church of Philadelphia. We're going to begin there in the seventh verse. But as I just was meditating upon Him today, as thinking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, well, if you wanted to know about me, you would have to also know a lot about my wife. The revelation of Jesus Christ is also about the revelation of His bride. And it's just so marvelous that this book of Revelation gives so much insight to who that's going to be, the qualities that are found in her, how she anticipates His face, how she anticipates just being with Him. He's all satisfying to her. And I think we're going to find a little bit more of that this evening. So again, in that seventh verse, and we'll pick it up there in the third chapter. Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith He that is holy, He that is true, He that hath the key of David, He that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. And again, last week we spoke about this. This is referring to heaven. Jesus Christ can open up heaven anytime He wants to open it up. And He can. He did it for Brother Enoch. He did it for Elijah. He did it when He led captivity captive. And praise God, this is going to be a time when He opens it up for His bride. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Hallelujah. And we which are alive and remain by the grace of God, this is the group of believers we're going to be studying about this evening for a bit. Thank you, Jesus. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. And it is so open. He's inviting all to come. Again, as He says in His Word, I would have all men to be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. This is the invitation. It's an open door for us. If we miss it, it's not because of the Lord. I can't blame it on anybody else. It's because I didn't take it. That faith is for me, and I do not want to draw back. I want to come forward in full assurance of faith that He's going to finish me unto His complete bride. Amen. For thou hast a little strength. We talked about that again last evening, or last week. This is the faith that God can instill in our life through His truth. And has kept my word, oh, the wonderful word of God, and hast not denied my name. And we'll pick it up tonight and we'll start getting into a little bit more discussion here in this ninth verse. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. This is a special verse, and especially in that very first part. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. This is only said to two churches. We read about this same statement in the church of Smyrna. We spoke about, and the Lord revealed to us, that the Jew truly is, in today's date, in this church age, those that have accepted Christ as Savior. This is Abraham's seed He's talking about here. But even more importantly, the note of understanding this, what is the complete opposite of truly what Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ is grace. The absolute opposite, the synagogue of Satan, is the flesh. It's self-righteousness. These are the ones that think, I appreciated Brother John's study this last Sunday night in Romans there, so specifically telling us that that law, what a wonderful thing that law was. How Jesus Christ is the completeness of that law. But how we in no way can rely on that. In no way can keep it. And in no way can come to God with that law. Or we're guilty. We're done. And you're going to face that second death if you ever tried to come to Him with that. By the grace of God, we come with the blood of Jesus Christ on our life. We come freely. We come knowing that we are accepted because of one thing. Because of Jesus Christ's death, because of His wonderful grace, because He bled and died for me, because I understand that everything that I hope to be is in His Son. So again, this behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet. I can imagine how surprised they're going to be someday. And they will be surprised in a sense, because they think that they've got it. They've been striking their chest. They've been thinking that they've been so holy. They've been thinking that they can come unto God without the blood of His Son. And it's going to be a grave mistake. And more than a grave, it's going to be an eternal lake of fire mistake. And He's going to make known to them that He has loved us. We've talked about that many times. But look what it's saying here. Not only is He going to make known that He has loved us by the grace of God, He's going to have them bowing down. He's going to have them worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. This is so beautiful to me. The only one I could ever think of in my mind is to worship is Jesus Christ. He gives this place unto this group of people. No other group of saints is this mentioned of that are going to be worshipped along with Jesus Christ. I appreciate in the Word of God how it says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. And you know what's as important to Him? His bride is going to stand with Him and He's going to make them bow down and worship her with Him. I've got chills all over my body. I can't imagine. But I know how He loves us. I do. I just am so thankful that He's drawing us into that kind of a fellowship. But know who you are. Know what place that God wants us to have in Him. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, in the 10th verse, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now you think about this. Back in the 8th verse, it says, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. But now it's something different a little bit here. It's thou hast kept the word of my patience. So precious in Hebrews when we studied that, how we run that race with patience. But this is even pleading to us that we be Christ-like. Just think how patient He was to always wait upon His Father. That's the word of His patience. This was the one who had set the stars in heaven, who had spoke the existence of everything. Without Him, nothing was created. Nothing holds together. Nothing consists. But yet He was obedient unto death. What do you think? You think we might be able to do that as well too by the grace of God? That we can take that same place and understand that that is keeping the word of His patience by the grace of God is our life moving with Him. Our life moving in harmony with Him. That He truly, like we were talking about this last week, that He is our head. That He truly, He is authority. But why not recognize Him in your life that He is your authority? That He's my authority. That I can walk in that harmony with God, that He can take me into the places of the Most High. That I can fellowship and I can sup with Him in a way that only He can bring and reveal His truth to me. Now in that fellowship and in that patience and in that love and in that, by the grace of God, keeping the word and in that little strength that by the grace of God that we have and in that we haven't denied the name of Jesus Christ, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The hour of temptation is the tribulation. It's the 7-year period of time that's coming upon this world. Don't mistake it for the great tribulation. The great tribulation, again, as we have discussed, is about the last 3.5 years, approximately, of the 7-year tribulation. This is the only group, again, that the Lord specifically says is spared. Now, the Church of Smyrna, those are the saints, overcomer saints, as Brother Hill used to say, and I used to appreciate it so much, the ones that went by the subway. Isn't that precious? They still were the full overcomers. He hoped to win Christ. I believe by the grace of God, He will have that Son glory. I believe that there are many others that have been in this meeting, and Brother Copley's and the different ones that have gone before us that are the full overcomers, that will be in this wonderful bride, that are the ones that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then the ones that are alive, the ones that are looking for His appearing, the ones that are loving His appearing, will appear with Him in glory and see Him face to face and ever be with the Lord. Lord, how precious to know that. But in this group, this is the group that is kept from the tribulation. You talk about benefits to going with God. You talk about benefits to loving Jesus and really having Him as our first love. Well, that's a great benefit right there in itself. Just to be with Jesus is the greatest of benefits. But I see this world accelerating, and I believe you do too. You can't deny it. It's accelerating in its evil. It's accelerating in its corruption. It's accelerating in many, many things that are not godly. But thank you, Jesus, that this will be a group of people that will be taken up to heaven, that will be raptured prior to this thing starting. And it will be the event that starts it. That rapture, at that moment, that will be the time when that he who hinders will be taken out of the way. Do you realize that the bride of Christ, again, as we said on Sunday, is hindering that devil from going out full force into this world right now? By the grace of God, believers, and believers that are looking for His return, the believers that will be part of this bride of Christ are blessing this world today, because I will say, by His grace, we would be the ones that are holding that Satan in his full fury at bay. Thank you, Lord God. What a wonder, what a wonder. Now, verse 11 here. It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now, again, you read this, and how could this be speaking about anything else but something so precious, so treasured, so wonderful? We understand that by the grace of God, that we cannot lose our salvation. I'm not holding fast to my salvation. It was given freely. The bride of Christ still is given freely. But it's something precious. It's something special. It's something by the grace of God that we need to cherish. We've talked about it many times. If you're serious about getting involved with someone, if you're serious about being engaged, you don't just take that ring and set it down and you go out and carouse with your friends and you come back and, you know, there's your love and you say, "Well, I'm sorry, I got to go out with so-and-so here in a minute, but I'll be back with you next week to marry you." That ain't going to last, is it? It don't work that way. By the grace of God, there's commitment, there's fellowship, there's that love, the communion that's going on. It's the courtship. And that's what's happening right now with Christ Jesus and His bride. It's the ones that are in tune, that understand this. It's wonderful to understand it, but then living the very love of it. I've talked to many that get a little bit panicked and frightened. They say, "Well, brother, I don't think I know the Word well enough." Well, I don't believe you do either, and neither do I. How could we ever know the Word well enough, huh? If you think you do, you better get on your knees. I'm just going to tell you that right now. God will prepare you. You know what it is? It's the heart. It's the love. It's the acceptance. It's the believing. That's the most important part. And if you have that by the grace of God, you can be anything. You can be everything to Him. See, that's the thing that means something here, brothers and sisters. It's not what I have up here. It's what's working on down here. It's what is getting ready here. When we're in love, you don't take an intelligence test, do you? You don't. We could go a long way with that one, couldn't we? But it's a heart test. It's a heart test. And so thankful that this is one groom that's worthy of all of our love. Okay? Ladies, make no mistake, and men, make no mistake. This one is worth your love. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? So let's hold that fast. This is the vocation. The vocation, the calling that we have. And we read about that in Ephesians. That's Ephesians 4:1. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is that we would walk worthy of that vocation. Walking worthy of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That we would be a testimony. Don't you love to sing praise about your Lord? Think again about your, in the natural, when you were going to get married to somebody, those that are already married, didn't you like to talk about your spouse-to-be? Huh? Oh, I hope so. I hope you didn't go hiding them. I don't think it works that way, does it? You're thankful. You're proud of them. You appreciate their beauty. You appreciate them being with you. You want to be with them. It's somebody that you want people to see, in a sense. That's your Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Him. Let's stand fast by the grace of God. Now, Him that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Let's stop there and let's just talk about that a little bit. This is wonderful. This is a pillar. And notice, most importantly, to him that overcometh will I make Make no mistake about it, we're His work. We are His workmanship. He creates us. He makes us into that beautiful, pleasing, wonderful bride that will be pleasing to Him. And it's is the work of that wonderful Holy Spirit in growing us up into all these things. But again, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. I got to thinking about that pillar. And again, we've heard so many talk about the wonderful stand that is there in Ephesians 6, 13 and 14, where you would stand and withstand and stand again. It's worth standing for, isn't it? And I'm going to tell you, you want to stand for it. You do. Because again, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything, aren't you? And this is the thing, by the grace of God, we stand for. I was thinking again in my mind, appreciated being around my mom so much growing up. We were little dreamers, and she'd always bring out pictures and show me all these places where we may go. And, you know, we've never been to many of them, but that's another story. But Mom and I are getting some of them down. But this was when she'd show me the ruins in Rome and Greece. And I think the ones, the Parthenon or whatever that would be. And, you know, the big pillars. But really, I noticed even as a kid, all those different places, you'd see all those ruins and everything falling off. But you'd always see them pillars standing, wouldn't you? You really would. If you think about them pictures, it's the pillars. That's the foundation. That's the substance by the grace of God. And if you'll allow, and if I'll allow in my life, Him to make us stand, Him to build us into the pleasing vessel that He wants us to be, we'll be one of these pillars. And notice, precious, in the temple of my God, and He shall go no more out. I was thinking again in the Song of Solomon how the Word of God says, His desire is toward me. He's not going to let go of me. First of all, we're in His hand and we're in His Father's hand, and we're never going to be out of any of them hands. But this is even a different relationship here. This is a desired relationship, an understanding that His complete desire is towards me, that He's possessed me. Has He possessed you? I pray to God He has. I pray to God that you realize that He's won your heart. That there's something beautiful about it. Again, I really don't think, and I'm not trying to compliment you too much. I'll let God encourage your heart that way. But I don't believe we'd be at a Bible study on a Wednesday night. I really don't, unless we really felt that there was something going on. Yeah. 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 I remember I'd even stay home on Friday nights when my girlfriend was out of town, huh? Well, Jesus is here by the grace of God, and I'm just waiting. And all I want to do is I want to think about Him. I want to meditate on Him. He's beautiful. He's beautiful, and I want to know Him more and more all the time. And I will write upon Him the name of my God. Oh, my. And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon Him my new name. Now, so many things to point out here. But as again, I was just rejoicing about this wonderful name. Think about what we just read there so many times. My God. My God. My God. Now, in a moment, we're going to read about the glory of my God. And that's what I was just thinking about so much today, is the glory that He is bestowing upon us right now. We're excited. This is an exciting time. I believe God has given us such a double portion of His love in this place. He needed to. He's getting us ready. Let us hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's the excitement of the wedding day. That's exactly what it is. That we can look around. This is the fervent love of the Philadelphia church. That's what it means, is brotherly love. We're going to unite in marriage by the grace of God with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How could I not love you if you're running for that as well? Fervently. Fervently. It's the family of God. I love my natural family very much. How much more so the very family of God? And then I was thinking again how precious this is, as the Lord continued to bring this out, is I will write upon Him the name of my God. Well, I got to thinking again. When I took my wife to marry, she took the name of my dad. She did. Mr. Odorcio. Odorcio came down there. Do you understand that? Do you see where this is going? This is a very specific, unique name. This isn't like the name that was given to Pergamos that nobody knew except them. This is a name that everybody knew. Everybody knows that Polly is Mrs. Odorsio. Odorsio was the name that was given to me by my father. This is a name that is given to this group, this person, this bride by Jesus' father. But it even gets even more intimate as you start reading down. And upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. The specific thing about Polly is she's Mrs. Jesse Odorsio. Do you get it? You see what the Lord's bringing out in this? This is Jesus Christ's name on this bride. This is His. This is the one that He has possessed. He has won her. She has won Him. No other church. How could you not see this by the grace of God? I'm just so thankful that we see it. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm so thankful. But it's here. It's real. This is the state of all believers that we're reading about. This is the church age. This is the time to get ready. This is what He is offering to us. And by the grace of God, this is what has been preached in this pulpit for 70 plus years. Can you imagine that? And you don't think you're blessed today because something went wrong. Shame on you. Oh God, bring us into this wonderful communion with you. All right, another little point here before we get going, and such a wonderful thought. The name, New Jerusalem. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 21. This is the name that she has been given. The city of my God. This is her precious place. In chapter 21, let's read verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That means there was no more trouble. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Oh, can you imagine? There's that name there, isn't it? This is her. Here she comes, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This again is the only group that is mentioned of this name. Church of Smyrna will have this as well too. But you go over now to the ninth verse. Let's jump over there. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. That's why I believe in that 12th verse. You see, the name of my God, my God, my God. How could you not have that name and not have glory all over you, huh? Praise His name. And her light was like unto a stone most precious. The Word of God talks about one star differeth from another in glory. The Word of God also talks about some are going to have the glory of a star and of a moon and even of the very sun itself. Brothers and sisters, this is the sun glory. This is the one that has that light, a light like unto His own. She has light because she has become so much like Him. These four living creatures that we're going to read about by the grace of God when we get to the fourth chapter, that's the group of believers. This is this Philadelphia church and the Smyrna saints as well too, that are the full overcomers. And in every way, shape, and form, they are Christ-like. Isn't that wonderful? Do you see it again fitting together? I hope it even gets more clear to you. That the vision even gets sharper. That it gets more real. That you can taste it. That you can see Him right now and say, Lord, I believe. And even so, Lord, come quickly. Huh? Amen. Amen. See, this is something that by His grace we know He's getting us ready. But you just anticipate to be with Him. Verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Oh, hallelujah. To hear this ear, to have this ear that hears. And again, to be the people for His namesake. This is what He's talking about here. This is what He's calling to have His name. He is looking today. That's Acts 15:14. You might make note of that. Acts 15:14. He is looking today for a people for His namesake. This is the group that will be His namesake. Praise His name. We could spend, you know, And we will eternity on it someday. But I believe that God wants us to move on. What a precious, precious portion of Scripture. All right. Now we got to talk about Laodicea. Okay. This is the message to Laodicea. Laodicea means just people, or the rights of the people. And again, as the Lord was bringing this to me this week, we mentioned last week about the Church of Sardis and how the Church of Sardis needed to awaken. They really needed to get back into the things of God and revive some of the things that were ready to die, it said. Mainly what it was is getting back into the Word of God. They needed to be sincere about their Scriptures. And Brother Copley so preciously wrote that was really the church that's the epitome of Protestantism. And we quoted that and talked about that a little bit yesterday. Well, that was back in 1930, wasn't it? How quickly we've come. Protestantism, I believe, is what we're going to read about tonight. It's called Laodicea. There's no more thought of God. I know we're getting quiet, but I believe you'll see some of the things in here. We need to wake up. We need to pray for people. We do. We need to pray for God's people everywhere. They're slipping more and more into the things of the world. They're slipping more and more, even Christianity, into form of godlinesses. And this is exactly why. This is exactly the thing that's robbing them. It's the rights of the people. Churches today have become democracies. See, democracy, we think, is a great word. And in a sense, it is. I appreciate that we live in a democracy where we get a vote for things. It's a whole nother sermon we could talk about there. But you can see how it's just a false democracy anyways. But let me tell you something. God is not a democracy. It's not. It's Him. He's our King. And you know, I was thinking, even if we could ever have a leader like that, let's just pretend. Would you rather have all the people voting for things so we could have a democracy if you really knew that you had a rightful man of God that would lead and make every decision? Think about it. I wouldn't want to vote if I knew that that person would move in the way God would. If I knew it. Do you see what I'm getting at? Well, this is God. But this is the problem with Laodicea. It's thinking about the people. Churches has become, again, reading this through, I was thinking how Brother Hill said so many times, we're not an organization. We're not. Churches are run by big boards today. Churches are run by what the people want to hear. What the public wants to do with this thing. How are we going to build great numbers? How are we going to build bigger buildings? How are we going to reach this and reach that? By the grace of God, I hope we can reach as many as He wants us to reach. With His message. With His truth. I get excited and I love when so many people want to come. Wednesday night Bible study. We know so many are missing, but wonderful to have so many out tonight. What happens if you were just here? Is that enough for Him? Yes, it is. He would have done it for one. And He did it for one. He did it for you. And that's how personal it has to be. Praise God we're here together. But He did it for you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But again, here we are with this rights of the people, the church democracy, we're an organization, huh? And this organization, as we're going to read about this Laodicea, has voted Christ right out of the church. So here we go. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. And this again is so precious because He is the beginning of the creation of God. But He's a faithful and true witness. He wants all men to be saved. And we are without excuse because Christ Himself is the witness. He is our witness. And He's a faithful witness. And He's laying it down for these folks right now. You are without excuse. I am at the door knocking at the heart of every man that ever walked the face of this earth. And I'm there knocking. Let me in. I know thy works. Thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou were hot, cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This group, this people, this part of the church, in a sense, has fallen so far away they've become complacent with the things of God. There are many churches today that you would think that you were just walking into a country club, that you were walking into some type of a social gathering, that it is something that we're in a neighborhood, that we're going to figure out how we can change our neighborhood, how we can think about good things, how I can deny any thought of negativity in my life and all those types of things. All of me, of me, of me. And that's where Christianity is going today. I'm not encouraging you to turn on your TV. Some of the largest churches and some of the best known churches that for many years preached the Word of God publicly are professing. They're leaving doctrine because the people don't want to hear it. Let me tell you something. You start leavening it up, you can leaven it so far and it gets leavened in that lump so quickly, you can fall completely away from the things of God. And all it takes is one generation. Just one generation, I'm going to tell you. I've seen it. I've seen it in people that are very close to me. I've seen it in people that have grown up in a house where it wasn't just salvation. They knew the infilling and had the infilling of the Holy Spirit and had people in their household preaching the bridal message. And they've grown up and have children that aren't saved today. That's how fast it happens. That's the world that we live in. This is the time. I'm excited about the time, but at the same time, I'm very burdened for many of the people. So again, here's this wonderful body of Christ that we have. And how in all of these other churches, Jesus is pleading with them. He's saying, you know, wake up. Return. Revive the good works, the good things that were going on in the assembly, the Word of God. Think of my name. There's nothing about that here. You're not going to read any type of reviving. You just need to get into it. Because everything was completely dead. And you'll notice here that he says, I spew you right out of my mouth. They're no part of this body. They're putrid to God. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And you think about really what is putrid to God. It's the self-righteousness. That was the filthy rags to Him. Anything that thought could get merit or acceptance to God that wasn't in His Son, that was the worst. Sure, sin is a horrible thing and He couldn't look on it with the nth degree to acceptance of it. But I'm talking about the dirty self-righteousness who He marked so well and said, that's repugnant to me. This is what we're talking about here. 17, here's why. He spits them out of his mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing. This is the form of godliness in 2 Timothy 3. Let's go there. I think we'll have time this evening. I want to read through that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll just read the first 7 verses. But this is who he's speaking of here. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And these last days is what this is. This is exactly what we're reading about. I believe that's exactly where we're at in this life. Is we are in these last times. This is the wrapping up of the church age. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection. Think about what's going on rampant in them churches that I'm talking about. They're promoting the unnatural affection. I don't mean to be, you know, parading about it, but it does seem to be the topic of the day in our papers and things. Boasters, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Christians getting ridiculed all day, aren't they, in this old world? Some of them deserve it. But they're not getting ridiculed for being a Christian. Those are just being ridiculed by being in the flesh. But I'm talking about people that just love the Lord. We're being ridiculed today. You're stupid. You're belligerent. You're narrow-minded. You're not accepting. You're just trying to isolate. You're trying to divide. No, I'm not. I just believe the Word of God, and it does all the dividing it needs to happen. I don't need to try to divide anything. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Isn't that what we've become? How do you think they get people into church today? They got to entertain them. It's like that man, I appreciate him. He said, "Oh, you got to advertise. You got a state-of-the-art athletic facility over there, and you got all these things. Do you imagine how many people you could get into your place?" I said, "We don't want to entice them that way." Wonderful that we have that benefit in this assembly, but we're here for the Word of God. We're here for the Word of God by His grace. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And again, that form of godliness, but denies the power. That's Jesus Christ. That's the complete denying of it. If you go into churches much today, they don't even mention the name of Jesus anymore. Because it might offend somebody and they might leave. We'll just call it God. We'll call it Lord. It's in the name of Jesus. Don't get complacent. I know very sweet Christians anymore that don't pray in the name of Jesus because they think it might be offensive. They don't think that they need to. You need to pray in the name of Jesus. That's what it says. Everything we say or do, do it all in the name of Jesus. God was very specific about that. Left no doubt. I am well pleased with my son. And I'll be very well pleased with you if you love my son. And I'll be even the more pleased with you the more you love my son. Isn't it simple? And how are you going to love him more? How are you going to put him in your life more? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Simplicity in the gospel, isn't it? I love him. Oh, I love him. How simple he is to me. Praise God. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with different lusts. And you know, you see the picture of that where people come in and you know, you have people coming into maybe a Bible study in your home or into church or whatever, and they seem to be excited about it. And then here come them ones in and they just lead them silly people right out. I don't worry about that. Because I do believe if you have a heart for God, He'll finish it. He'll grow you up. He'll give you the spiritual maturity that you need to win Him. Amen. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And why aren't they able? Because they don't have faith. And there's only one way, again, you're going to get the faith. It's going to be in the Word of God. You think about, again, people, listen, if you go to church, if you're going to places, they better be giving you the Word of God or you're wasting your time. And it better be coming by the grace of God in spirit and in truth. That's what we have. That's what God wants to give us. But this is really what this Laodicea is all about. It's this form of godliness. Getting back into the 17th verse. And knowest not that thou art wretched, you're blind, you're miserable, you're poor, and you're naked. Okay? When you're blind, like Jesus said, they have eyes and they see not. They have ears and they hear not. There is no realm of understanding Christ as Savior in this church. They don't see it. They're naked before God. Do you realize that, yes, we are exposed before Him? He sees us. But we're not naked before Him. We are clothed with righteousness. He sees His Son. If He sees you naked like He's talking about here, this is sinful nakedness. This is something that He can't look upon, and He's going to cast you out. And He's going to have you face the second death. And you're going to wind up in a lake of fire. But by His grace, when you believe Him as God, and when you believe Him as your Savior, you have the gown of righteousness. I counsel thee in the 18th verse to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Again, the Word of God is so clear about this. Our faith is more precious than gold. The trying of our faith is precious, more precious than gold tried in the fire. He says, I counsel thee to buy it, that thou mayest be rich. They haven't even started. But do you see how rich you would be even if you give your heart to Jesus? You have riches untold. Bill Gates, you're the pauper of paupers just to the smallest babe in Christ. The wealth that's there. He says, buy this. Get it from me. Have faith. Get this faith. Get this wonderful gold that's tried in the fire. That thou mayest be rich. And what will you have? And white raiment. That thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness. This is the emptiness that sin brings. This nakedness would not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. This is the gospel. See, it says in the Word of God, without a vision, people perish. And by the grace of God, we as Christians want to have even a sharper vision. We want to have more of a vision of what we're talking about tonight. It's wonderful that we see this, but I don't want to get complacent with that. Lord, help me see more tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Let your beauty grow to me. I don't want to say, well, I understand about the four living creatures, and I understand about the Philadelphia church, and I understand all that, and I've already heard this, and I'm not going to Bible study anymore because I've already heard Revelation four times from Brother Hill. If I felt that way about somebody I really loved, I don't really love them, do I? Mm-mm. Nope. And this is beyond a love of somebody naturally that you could ever love. Let us be fervently in love. Fervently. Holding fast. This is what He wants from our lives. But that the eyes would have the eye salve. They need a vision because they're blind. They just need a vision of salvation. That thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And He loves everybody and He's after everyone. He would that all men would be saved. Be zealous therefore and repent. Again, there is nothing to revive in this church. This is the only one that says, don't, you know, awaken from this or bring back the thoughts of old or get back into the things of God or it's ready to die. No, you're dead. This is what is here. This is what it's come to. And I guess the reason that the Lord has impressed this so upon me is that we as Christians in standing for the things of Christ, we have to be bold in this and understand that. When we're dealing with people, it's in love, but you know what? Don't dilly-dally around with them. Give them the Word of God. Let them know. I don't care what church they belong to. I care if they're a Christian. I don't care what, in a sense, I really don't. I don't care what church people belong to. I care that they're a Christian. And then from there, by the grace of God, I know if they have a heart. I know if they have a heart. God will be faithful to it. He'll bring them out of it. I met that Jewish man I told you about in my house. It was the most amazing story I ever heard. He was raised in that synagogue. And at 10 years old, he was down there in Georgia. And he meets this, he grew up in this group of kids that were Episcopals. And he goes and he asks his rabbi, he says, hey, rabbi, do you mind if I read about the New Testament? My friends do. And the rabbi says, well, I'll tell you, I've read it before. And I can't say that there isn't anything historically untrue or historically incorrect. Go ahead and go read it and study. Do whatever you want to do with it. About 6 months later, he came back and he had actually gotten a hold of an Episcopal priest to study with. And he came back and he stood up in that class at the age of 10. And he said, Rabbi, we've missed the boat. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Amen. If you have a heart, God will fill it. He's going to do it. Amen. He is. He's not going to deny that. He knows. And this man has come so far. I continue to pray for him. I ask you to continue to pray for him as well too. But the Lord filled him in a, I think you heard me say, He filled him in a kind of a prayer breakfast one day. The Lord just told him to go to this restaurant when he was about 40 years old. He was down there. He's the head doctor at the Air Force Academy. Gets up in the morning, doesn't know why he's there, and he just goes. This group of guys come in there, and they said, what are you doing here, man? He says, I don't really know. The guy said, I know why you're here. You're here to receive the Holy Spirit. He had about 15 guys laying hands on his head. He didn't know what was going on. But before he knew what was going on, he was speaking in a language he never knew. Yep. That's God. That's your God. Don't doubt Him. Don't doubt Him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We're going to finish this up. You can see here, He stands on the outside of this place. He's not on the inside. When you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit deals with you. There's a knocking on the door of your heart. When you accept Him as Savior, the door opens and He comes in. And He never leaves. Amen. You may not live it. You may not act like it. You may be raking, as Brother Hill used to say, through the kennels of hell itself. But He never left you. Amen. With this group, He's on the outside. A lot of people will try to bend this and twist this and say, well, these people knew. No, these people don't. It's on the outside. It's on the outside. If any man, and I appreciate the call here, this is how Christ loves. This is even those people, again, that we were talking about on Sunday, that publicly blaspheme Christians. They publicly blaspheme Christ, ridiculing. But yet Jesus stands there as the Lamb slain for them. Still doing it yet today. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes, I grant. This is a precious part here too. Don't lose me yet. To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. It's so precious, the invitation here. But you'll notice to this group, it's not ruling and reigning. It's not a crown. If they'll come and they'll accept this, this is the, you know, you're just barely getting in there, but you're in. But you sit with me. There's no reigning here. And this throne, if you go and really read about here, it's talking about the kingdom, not necessarily a place. But the Lord even clarifies it a little bit more. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Now Jesus Christ is set down as the Son of God right now at the right hand of the Father. That is how this person would sit with Him. By the grace of God, when Philadelphia will take the seat with Jesus Christ, it's not just seated together with Him in the heavens in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm making no light about that. But Jesus Christ is going to move over a seat. And He's going to take the throne. Yeah. He is. It's going to be His. And those that are going to be in the midst of that is going to be a queen. And she's going to, by the grace of God, get her up. And He's going to parade her around forever. And she will make known to all that He has loved her. Do you see the difference? I believe it's so clear. I believe it's so evident that there is a place, every man in his own order. One star differeth from another in glory. Thank you, Lord, that You caused us to see this. Help us to enter in. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Our ever pleading, wonderful Lord is calling us, pleading with us. Come out, take more, come out, take more. And then by the grace of God, when we're in that harmony, hold it fast and just grow, brothers and sisters. Run well. Don't be hindered. Lay aside every weight and run well. So precious. This is the end of the third chapter. And now from here on out in Revelation, we're going to be talking about things in the future. This was the now. It's over. By the grace of God, now we'll be talking about the futuristic things. And Lord willing, I won't be with you next Wednesday. I encourage you to come. But the following Wednesday after that, if Jesus tarry, we're going to hit that fourth chapter. And that, I just think it gets better and better and better and better. Let's pray. Thank You again, dear God, for giving us such a sweet time with You. Thank You for Your truth, Lord. Thank You again for choosing us. You did. You drew us to You, Lord. You've called us and chosen us. Help us to be faithful servants, Lord. Help us to be faithful in keeping that wonderful faith, Lord, and laying hold to the wonderful blessing of a crown of righteousness that was given to our brother Paul that can be laid up for us as well. We ask You to make that just true and so real to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.